Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hey, and we are holding at Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and we got up to Kibel et Amale, Umarzir et Harekan, about one-fifth of the way up. Kibel et Amale, Umarzir et Harekan, so the Mishnah says that what they had was an assembly line, in which you would pass the full cup of dam to the Kohen next to you, and he would return to you the empty one, and this would keep going all the way up and down the line. But you note that it says first that he took the full cup, and only afterwards did he return the other one. Now, it could just as easily be done with his other hand in the other direction. And so you see from here, Ibchalo, it shouldn't be done the other way. Why is that? The Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, in ma'avirin ala mitzvot. If you have a mitzvah that is given to you to do, then you don't do something in between. And since over here you had this mitzvah that was bole yotcha to be able to do the holacha, there would be no heter to give the empty one back before your osek in that mitzvah. Kohen HaKarov etzel mizbeach. Ah, interesting. It says in the Mishnah that the Kohen who was next to the Mizbeach would throw the dam. Doesn't say would pour out the dam. Now, is that really the halacha? Who indeed is a Tana that says that the Korban Pesach is done through throwing the dam specifically? Says the Gemara, that's Reb Chista, that's Reb Yossi Haglili. The Tanya, Reb Yossi Haglili Omer, et damam tizrok al Mizbeach, the et chelbam taktir. Now, this is very fascinating. We're talking about the parsha of Ach Bechor Shor, which is the posik specifically that is talking about Bechoros, Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Bechor Eis. And all it says at the end is, damam et izrok chelbam taktir, which is strange because it's one din. It's a din of a Bechor. So it's the posik, but Pashtas obviously is referring to various Bechorot. But there's no way that we would have used that Lushan Rabim Stam. Ella, the Pshat is, Chelbam is talking about three very special cases where no information was given about what to do with those things that the Torah never spoke about, the Dam. And therefore, it's using a Lushan Rabim to speak about the various types of sub-shlamim. All of these korbanas are essentially korbanot shlamim that have a particular unique din that's associated with each of them. And therefore, when we're talking about the korban Pesach, and we're talking about the Bechor itself, and the korban of Meiser Behema, very little information was given to us when it came to the Dam. And when we suddenly find that in one of them, which is the case of Bechor, the Torah uses the Lashon Rabim, that's come to telling me that even though it didn't say beferish that I should sprinkle the blood, or it didn't say beferish that I should put the imurim on the mizbeach, that all of these korbanos are the same in that they need matandamim veimurim legabe mizbeach. And how would I know from here that it has to be on a part of the mizbeach where there is a yesod? Omar Rabbi Elazar, because it uses the lashon of zrika. That's why. And Atya Zrika Zrika, we learn out that Lashon of Zrika from, as it says here, Damam Tizrok ala Mizbeach, and it says by the Korban Pesach, by the Korban Eila, Vizorku b'nei Aharon HaKohanim et Damo ala Mizbeach Saviv. And just like it says beferish, as we'll see in a moment, that the Korban Eila has to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach over an area that has yesod, and remember that not all four sides of the Mizbeach had yesod, because those parts that were in the chelek of Yehuda did not have a yesod, and it was just that one additional amah that was missing on that chelek, which was the southern side and the eastern side, and the western side. So because of that, So therefore, because of that, only the corner over there had the yesod. So because of that, the Korban Pesach and the Korban Bechor and the Korban Meiser also has to be nami to'un yesod. And how do we know that the Ola itself requires the yesod? Amar Kra, el yesod mizbeach ha'ola, Alma Ola to Unai Yisod. So since it says Yisod Mizbach Ola, yeah, I got my directions mixed up for some reason. Okay. So obviously it's the western side that doesn't have the Yisod. The eastern side is the one that is Korev to the Hecha, which has the Yisod. So Alma Ola to Unai Yisod. Yotzta Kat Rishona. Now we get into the details of what do we do after the Korban is completed for the first Kat. And then the second one comes in, he goes out, third one comes in, and that third kat is called lazy bones. So yani great kata atzlanit. Those were the guys that were lazy. What were they doing there, waiting until the last possible kat to come in? Ridiculous. So that's the kat of the procrastinators. I understand. I mean, somebody's got to do that, right? There's got to be a third cut. So, I mean, if a guy says, listen, you know, I want to make sure that the third cut is done beautifully and there's a lot of people there and so on, what's he supposed to do? Although, Sagi de Lavachi, I mean, the Torah said you need to be have these three Kahaladat Israel. My Havi Lulam Evat, so what would you like me to do? You want everybody to try to make it into the first cut? I mean, then we won't have a Kosher Korban Pesach. Doesn't matter. That's not your business. Things tend to work out. Let somebody else be lazy. You should be the one that's going ahead and making sure that you get there first. This is the old Rambam Ravid statistics, Machlokas. You know, well, if not me, then who? Okay, so. Afilo hachi. These last guys that came in at the last minute, they should have been pushing themselves to get there first. And this is Bechlal, the way the world goes. You know, things tend to work out. But that doesn't mean you have to be the one that makes it work out. So because of that, it says in the Braita, look, the world's got to have perfume makers and it's got to have leather workers, okay? Now, the perfume makers tend to smell a heck of a lot better than the leather workers. But we can still say, happy is the guy who managed to become the perfume maker as opposed to the guy who's going to be working on tanning those shoes, those leathers, which really smells horrific. The same thing is true. Look, there's got to be boys in the world and there's got to be girls in the world. Now, if you're a daddy of a girl, as the Gemara says, you know nothing but worry. You know, am I going to get her a shidduch? Am I not? Is somebody going to seduce her? Is she going to have a nice life with the guy? I mean, if you got a boy, he'll make his way, you figure, right? All right, so is Oates. Not your problem, but it's your problem if it's a girl. So, you know, it's Ashrei. Look, the world needs Zecharim and Nekevot, okay? That seems to be quite clear. But Ashrei Misha Banav Lezecharim, Va'oilo Lemisha Banav Nekevot, let other people do the worry. You know, you should have the easy life. So because of that, the Pesach, even though, yes, Eif Shala Pesach Belo Shalosh Kitot, Ashrei Misha Yigia Lekat HaRishona. Anyway, continues on the Mishnah, and it says that there was no difference in terms of the Asiyah of the Korban Pesach between Chol and Shabbat, except for one thing, that the Kohanim, they were washing the Azara on Shabbos without the heter of the Chachom. And as I mentioned yesterday, Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, he learns that means that they actually used their sponge sticks or they used their broom, because otherwise, apparently, there's no marker for somebody to answer it. So when you say Shelo Britzon Chachamim, can you please identify who exactly it is that voiced an opinion that even in a location such as this, now here we're talking about a place that is completely covered with stones. There is no area that isn't covered with a stone in the Azara. And therefore, the question of Ashvuye Gumais, which is the problem of Binyan, if you would actually work on a floor or a problem outside, if it were outside in a field, then it would be a getter of Harisha. But indoors or in a building, that indoors doesn't mean under roof necessarily, that would, l'chora would not be usher if there's nothing that you can do with it. So who is the one that said that even so, if you're sweeping a floor that's covered with tile, or over here it's covered with stone, It's going to be usur midiraisa, and that would explain why it would still be usur in the Azara. Says Rav Chista, well, that's got to be Rebbe Eliezer, because everybody else holds, at the very most, there would only be a gzera derabbanan over here. Because the Rabbanan say that, in general, just sweeping or washing is only an iser derabbanan. It's a shvus, an ein shvus b'migdash. Where do we see this machlokas? Well, we've got six cases. The six cases are like this. And the question is whether, it's a big machlokas, we've shown him whether the machlokas is in all six cases or only the last three. So here is the brisa. Whether you milk an animal, or whether you curdle the milk, hamechabetz means or, you curdle the milk, or you megabein, you make the cheese, which consists of pressing now the curdles one into another until you've got this actual cheese. The shear to be mechayev you in that is the shear of a grogeret, which is always the shear of chiev for inyonim of achila on Shabbos. So that's a dried fig. How about if you sweep the floor in your house, hamechabet, or hamirabetz? Mirabetz means you sprinkle the floor. In those days, they had actual floors that were just covered with earth. So you would actually spray it all the time in order to make sure that you didn't get a lot of dust in the air. Or somebody who takes out chalot dvash, you take out the loaves, we call it loaves of honey, because they come in the honeycomb, and you take this out of a beehive, and according to the Tanakhama, that's considered to be a form of ktsira. So if you did this b'shogeg on Shabbos, you would be chayav achatas. If you did this b'mezid on a yontav, you'd be chayav malkas arboim. So says Rebbe Eliezer. Now, as I said to you earlier, there is big machlokas rishonim, almost all the rishonim hold that this machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the chachomim is only as regards the last three, and not as regards the cases that we said before. However, the Ramban learns it's nogea even the cases, and therefore there would be all kinds of other machlokas in terms of cholev. The question is whether disha would apply even to things that are not kedulei karka, and therefore there would be no iser in taking milk out of a mammal. That's not the equivalent of disha according to the chachomim, and is according to Rebbe Eliezer. Mechabetz would be similar to binyan, and that would be the chiev, so there would be those who would hold that a binyan that is not meant to be a permanent thing, perhaps is the issue, as we'll see later on, is not considered to be usur, if it's a machlokes. And the question of mechabed, merabetz, these are things that are a lot of machlokes in about. So some taina, that the question is the issue of whether it's considered to be a psik reisha or not. And obviously, what you're doing over here to clean the floor is not in itself an act of kavona to go and to be mashva guma. So all I'm trying to do is clean up the dirt. So the hashvat gumot, if it's a psik reisha, how could it be a psik reisha if you're talking about tiles? So the svara on that is that since there's always a little bit of an area between the tiles in which the dirt will settle, and that gives the floor more of a one-level completion, that itself is called ashuya gumais. So where you've got, even where you've got an entire floor that's coated with marble, or that's coated with stone, as it is in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, when you actually flood it and clean it, you're smoothing out those areas between the stones. So maybe that is considered to be ashuya gumais. So, and whether the question is whether that's called a psik reisha or not, or whether the question is whether bichlal that's called ashvuya gumais, because obviously it is a very impermanent ashvuya gumais, and every time you do the floor again, you're going to be laying down new stuff. Some learn that the machlokas is whether the very fact of polishing the floor is itself a last stage, so to speak, in making the binyan usable. And therefore, it is in and of itself fundamentally an ashvuya gumas equivalent, sort of like makabah patish is to binyan. That's a fascinating svara, which some learn. But whatever the machlokas is, it's Rebbe Eliezer who holds that it's an actual diraisa, because it's considered to be ashvuya gumas, even though it's impermanent. The same thing would be, by the way, we have the same machlokas in other cases. For instance, is a woman who gets a hairdo, that's called binyan. Is that called binyan diraisa? Well, I mean, if you hold, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that these cases are considered to be deorisas, making what we say, those who learn that it's a machlokas, that the megabein would be building midiorisa, even though that is something that's impermanent. So maybe that would be the question. We find this in numerous places that Rebbe Eliezer is machshiv something that is done for a brief period as being nonetheless the way that the malocha could be done. Okay, there are, as I say, we've mentioned three. There are other approaches as well as exactly what the Bachlokas is. But the bottom line is that we do find that Rebbe Eliezer holds that either way, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, Eino Ela Mishum Shvus, is considered to be a Shvus, as Moshe Forma pointed out, the din of Vayiven et Hatzela is also an Indian of Binyan. We see that in my separation. He wants to make this key idea so that we have Rebbe Eliezer back at the beginning of time, which would be Nogea Moshe Rabbeinu's Bakasha, that it should be from me when he went up to the Rakia. All of that was included in a very brief note that our very special Moshe Forman managed to throw into the chat, of which I caught one word, but I hope I got it right. Okay, very good. All right, so it says the Gemara, apparently it's only going to work out only by the Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah. So, says Rav Ashi, no, not necessarily. Who told you that it's a given that when we say Shalom B'Ritzon Chachamim, it has to be Shalom B'Ritzon Chachamim who hold that it's a D'oraisa? Maybe it's a Shalom B'Ritzon Chachamim that everybody agrees to, because all the Chachamim are made that it's a D'rabbanan. The only thing is, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, okay, but if it's only D'rabbanan, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So then why would we say it's Shalom B'Ritzon? I should be very happy to do it. Says Rav Ashi, because even though in terms of the din of the malacha, everybody may be agreed that it's a rabbanan, the question of whether a rabbanan such as this one would be applicable even in the Beis HaMikdash, that is the shita that we'd be looking for, not the question of the deraisa. And therefore, Shelo B'Ritzon Chachamim would be aliba the shita of Rabbi Nosson, it would be true according to all the Chachamim, not only according to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Natan Omer, only Shvut Tzricha Hitiro. It's true that Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but this was only Shvus that was being done in order to be able to do the Avoda. Now, you certainly can't tell me that if I don't make the Azara clean, that it's going to be Ma'akev, the Avoda in any way. I mean, when the Kitot are finished up, they're finished up. Okay, so it's not going to be such a covered Shabbos for the floor to be dirty. No. But that's not a shvus that's tricha for the Avedas HaMikdash, is it? And therefore, according to that, shvut she'ina tricha lo itiro, there was no heter of shvus. So even though normally we view it that they were not gozer shvus in the Mikdash, Rabbi Nosson holds the normal dinim of shvus apply all over. The question is whether we were mater shvus. To be mater shvus, we'd have to be mater shvus. That is similar to the concept of those things that the Torah wanted us to do on Shabbos, even though at Shabbos it's a deraisa. The Chachomim followed the same idea, that something that is necessary for the Aveda is nitcha, so to speak. So we're mater it, but it doesn't mean that we were never gozer it in the first place. So that, of course, ups the level of iser, because we have to go out of our way to be mater, so we weren't mater. Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Then we got into the end. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayamim Alei. Now in the Braita, we got a little bit of the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and those who are Chaylek, and say, we didn't do that. So it says in the Braita like this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayamim Alei, Midamat Ha'arovet. What would be the purpose of that, of filling up one cup and pouring it out on the Mizbeach? Very simple. She'im Yishafech Tomo Shelechad Mihem Nimtza Zemach Shiro. In the event that one of those cups had spilled out on the way to going to the Mizbeach in our assembly line, and somebody had stumbled for a moment, hit a cup against another, and it would pour out, then it would turn out that we'd get at least one molecule of that blood, and we would throw it onto the Mizbeach, and that way everybody's Korban Pesach will be kosher. We don't have to worry about an accident having happened to my blood. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand. I mean, the blood that's on the floor was never in a kos, right? What do you mean? How do you know it was never in a kos? Wait a second. I mean, it's true that it is, if the blood never got into the kos, there was no kabbalah, and it just spilled from the dam of the neck of the animal, you're right. That is not kosher dam, because it has to be first kodesh in the klishores. But at the time of the actual Kabbalah, that's the Avodah of Kabbalah. But what do you mean it spilled directly? How do you know it spilled directly? Minayade. No, obviously what they mean is How do you know, Rabbi Yehuda, that when you're pouring this dam, that you're going to be makshir something? How do you know? Maybe the blood wasn't even inside of a kli. So then you wouldn't be able to be makshir it. Now, that's a pretty weird kind of question, right? As Tosis points, that's the way Rashi learns. But, I mean, as Tosis points out, okay, fine. So let's say we've got 300 cups that spilled, and we've got 300 equivalent of cups worth of dam that went directly. So therefore what? So because maybe there was some blood that had spilled directly from the neck of the animal, so therefore I shouldn't pour out for those poor people who have lost their Korban Pesach because it was mekubel in a kos, and then the kos spilled? What kind of weird question is that? Therefore, says Tosfos, the problem is, this is just in memory of our dear Barnea, who hasn't made it yet. I suppose today he's in either the kat atzlanim or he's in the kat of the lamdanim. But in any event, the Tosfos, because of that, says, no, that's not the issue. The issue is that if any of that dam spilled directly from the neck of the korban onto the floor, then it would be usher to put that dam, because it was nifsal, it would be usher to put it on the mizbeach. That's the question. What's the meaning of Rashi? So, I mean, obviously the point in Rashi is that it's one of those things that sort of, you can't deal with the problem anyway, so don't try. You know, it's sort of like the idea of we get another wife in waiting for the Kohen Gadol because maybe his wife will die. I mean, so maybe that wife will die. Maybe she'll die. Maybe we'll need another. That's what the Chachomim taina. So maybe we should just, I mean, you can't cover everything, you know. So you do what you can. That's right in front of you. I mean, as far as we know, everything is okay. So, you know, forget about trying to cover all your possible bases. Maybe that's what Rashi means. So anyway, Rabbi Yehuda answered them, no. I'm only talking about dam that definitely was in a kos. What? How do you know? I don't understand. Everybody seems to know what's going on, but they have no idea. How does he know? Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, of course I know. How could it possibly be that a Kohen would not do the Kabbalah? Kohanim Rizimim. Well, you think that any Kohen there would allow that dam to just spurt out after Shechita and wouldn't be ready to do a Kabbalah? Ridiculous. Oh, yes, yeah, says the Gemara. If they're so Zrizim, how the heck did they spill the cup? So, I mean, if you're ready to rely on them doing the job right, then why are you worried about the cup spilling? No, that's the point. Because you're so Zoriz, you can end up spilling the cup. So that's two different things. If you're talking about being available when something needs to be done, okay. But then you're talking about this, like, rapid fire machine gun, ta-da-da-da-da-da-da, of passing it onto the coin in one way with your other hand, taking the other clean. This is like, whoa, if you mess up that rhythm for 1 minute, you got a lot of cups banging into each other and the whole thing grinds to a halt and the cups spill on the ground. But that happens, obviously, not when people are going around slowly passing the cup. Be careful here, take that. That's all we need on Erev Pesach, right? So because of that, the Zrizus itself, says Rabbi Yehuda, is a problem. Agav Zritayu Da'avde, because they were doing things so fast, because of that, it's possible that one of the cups spilled. But wait, Rabbi Yehuda, most of this blood, let's say 99.9% of the blood on the floor is obviously blood that is draining out of all of these millions of shechted animals, right? I mean, that's called dama tamtzit. Dama tamtzit, which is not dama nefesh, is not mechaper. So why is it not just bottle in all of that dam? So if it's bottle, you're not getting, I mean, one molecule out of a billion is really not going to be present, lahalocha. Remember, there's a din of bittul. No, says the Gemara, it works out great, because Rabbi Yehuda could be going l'shitato. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that even dam atamtzit is regular dam. And because of that, because we see in the Braita, the Chachomim say dama tamtzit ba'azara. This is somebody who eats blood, that's the dama tamtzit, is over on a lav, but he is not chai of koras. This were medayik from the different psukim that talk about the isur dam. So apparently, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that dama tamtzit is a chai of koras exactly the same way that dama nefesh is, so apparently he holds that it would even be mechaper, like dama nefesh, and therefore doesn't matter. But I thought Rebbe Elazar said that Rebbe Yehuda is Meida, that it may be Dam in terms of the Chi of Kares, but it certainly is not Dam in terms of actually turning into the Dam HaNefesh and then being allowing you to be Mechaper. That not, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Ki Adam Hu Benefesh Yechaper. This is addition, this is a new din. Davke Dam Shanefesh Yoitzebo is Mechaper. But Dam She'en HaNefesh Yoitzebo Eino Mechaper. So therefore, this is not going to help you, because even though he holds a Chikai of Kares, it doesn't mean that he holds you can use it for Kapora. So now we're stuck again. So we've got most of the Dam is not Dam HaNefesh. So how would we be able to put it now on the Mizbeach to be Yotze if it's going to be Batal? We've got a problem today in that the Rebbe is concentrating very hard, and therefore the light emanating from him is getting brighter and brighter to the point where it's actually blocking out his face. My gosh, this is a serious problem. So, okay, so what is the real issue? How do we manage to get Dam HaNefesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we've got 99% of Dam Tamsis? No problem. This is also Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, so, but you've got his other Shita. Rabbi Yehuda's other Shita is that and Min Bimino is never Batal, and Dam cannot be Mavatal Dam. Very simple. So even though you're right, it's only one molecule in a million, what's the difference? It's not going to be Batal, and as long as it got on, No, absolutely not. Rogovs, do not look at the art scroll. They never know what they're talking about. Just it's bad news when your daughter comes to attack you from an art scroll. Okay, maybe there's another approach. All right, so in any event, he holds that the Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, and because of that, it would be okay. And if according to him, it's definitely kedai to put that on the Mizbeach. Now, Tanya, among them, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, you want to take a look at some of the interesting discussions about this issue between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Braita said to the Chachamim, see, can you explain to me why it is, according to you, that they actually would stop up the plug that would normally allow drainage from the floor of the Azara, and the blood would usually would sort of just leak out, and then it would end up draining into the Amma, which in the end they would be able to sell for remember we had before, to the Gananim, they would sell it for fertilizer and so on. Here, why were they poking in? I mean, according to me, it makes sense. They were poking because they needed all the blood so that at the end, they would be able to take a cup of the dam and put it on the Mizbeach. But according to you, that they didn't do that, why were they poking in? I can't believe you thought that that was like a halacha. The reason that we did that is because it's so beautiful. Shevachu levnei Aaron sheyelchu ad arkavoteim bedam. You want the Bnei Aaron to really be bloody. So because of that, if they're walking all the way up to their knees or their ankles in blood, and this means Arkuva Tachtona undoubtedly, if they're walking all the time in blood, that is a tremendous mila to them. So it's not quite clear why is it a tremendous. And one amazing thing is, of course, that Psachim is where it is that we had the Gemara about Yisachar Ish, Barkai, right? So where over here, he really was mevazekachim by saying, I can't get my pretty hands dirty. And over here, the Masechet is insisting that Adarabba shows such a tremendous connection that you have to the relationship to Kachim, that the halicha in dam, while it is that you're working on the karbanas, is considered to be, as Moshe Forman points out, mitposeset bedamayich, and that's mamish keneged the Korban Pesach, so you need to actually be covered in blood, and this is part of the commitment and the joy that you have in doing the Avodah Lamaka. So if you ever wanted to understand the psychology of hunters, you need to be able to be a predator like the Mizbeach. So if you're acting, the Kohen is acting as part of that predation, then that gives you that connection to the world Bechlal. And therefore, it was only done for that purpose. But wait a minute, but how could you let everything be covered with blood? Then wouldn't it be a chatzitza between their feet and the floor of the Azara? And Vaka Chayetz. I thought it's osir to be chotzetz. No, wet things are not chotzetz. So since the blood is wet, it's not going to be chotzetz like it says, hadam, hadyo, hachalav, hadvash. We got things that are wet or they could be dried. So if you're talking about blood or ink or milk or honey, if they're dry, yaveshin, then in fact they are chotzetzin. But if they're lachim, they're not chotzetzin. Ask the Gemara, but what about the begodim? The big day kuhuna are pasul if they're dirty. So what exactly are you supposed to do? You can't lift up the big day kuhuna, as we'll see, with, let's say, tie it up with a belt or something like that. You can't do that because then it's not going to be kosher, as we'll see. So over here, since it says that hayu begadav metushtashim, if a Kohen's begodim were dirty and he did an aveda, the aveda is pasul. And if you're going to say v'chitema d'madul olamenayu, that they maybe they lift it up with some kind of string or something and they tie the begodim up so they don't get into the blood. But the Torah says mido bad, that it has to be lefi midato, it has to fit him exactly, has to go down to his feet, shelo yechesar velo yotir, can't be too long, can't be too short. So then how could he hold them up in order to get them, make sure that they stay clean? Says the Gemara, when it says over here that it would be a nice thing for the Bnei Aaron to walk through blood, that's talking about holachat evarim lekevesh. That it wasn't when they were doing an aveda. You're right, the aveda can't be with dirty clothes. But over here, they were doing things that wasn't an aveda. Olachat evarim lekevesh. And olachat evarim lekevesh, they could hold the begodim up, and that's not an aveda. So at that point, they held the begodim up so they didn't get dirty. Well, why do you say it's not an aveda? I mean, it may not be one of the arba avedas, but it still requires a kohen. And if it requires a kohen, then it's a din in kuhuna, and a kuhuna has to be done with midobat. So we're spinning our wheels over here. We're not getting any closer to a solution. The Tanya, v'ikriva kohena takol hamizbecha. This refers to hikriv, bringing the evorim closer to the mizbeach, putting them onto the kevesh. That itself is considered to be requiring a kohen, and therefore it requires big day kuhuna. And if you're going to tie the begodim up with a string or something so they don't get dirty, so then the avodah will be possible. Okay, fine. That's not what it's referring to. It's referring to at the time that the kohanim, remember, our problem is when would it be mutter for the kohanim to be walking in blood and not have big day kuhuna that would be kosher on them, because these big day kuhuna would no longer be mido because they were tied up. Where could that be? So you know where that would be? It would be bolachat eitzim lemaracha. Look, they also had to carry up the wood to the top of the mizbeach, right? So then that is not considered to be an aveda. So at that point, they could tie the beged, and they could put their feet into the blood, and then they would be making this beautiful point about the Shevach Ulevnei Aaron. So maybe then. Wait, I don't understand. But they are going to be, something's wrong. They are going to be walking to do the Aveda. How are they going to do the Aveda? You're telling me, what good is it to tell me the only time I mean for them to be walking in blood with their begodim tied up so they don't get dirty is when they're not doing Aveda. Thank you very much. But what do they do when they are doing Aveda? Now, you didn't explain that. So, ba'olachat evarim lekevesh, and what about the olachas dam, and what are they going to do for all of the things that they do that will be puzzle if they tie the beged up, or will be puzzle if they don't tie the beged up because the beged will be dirty? So, hechiyase, how did they walk? The maske aitz teboy. So they walked on these raised areas where they put down stones that were able to be walked on, and they walked along that when they did the aveda, and then when they were carrying the eitzim in order to be able to show how mechavev they were to the working in the dam of the mizbeach. There they tied their beged up and they went down to the floor level. Okay, next thing. Says the Mishnah, how did the owner who had been shochet, how did he do toilin umavshitin? And okay, so he talks about where they hung it up, and on Shabbos they would put one hand on the other guy's shoulder and so on. And then it says, after that, something very weird. It says, kor o, votziot emurav. So then they would take out the various emurim that needed to be put on the mizbeach, put them into a magez, and viktira, put them up on the mizbeach. What do you mean, put them up on the mizbeach? He's not a kohen. He can't put them up on the mizbeach. Or to who gufe avimakatelu? He was the guy that put them on the mizbeach. No, it should say he put them in a magez leaktiran agabim mizbeach, in order that they should be, obviously by somebody with kosher to do so, which was a kohen, to bring them up onto the mizbeach. Then out goes the first, then comes the second, and then at was on Shabbos, it would have to be that everybody stayed in a different place. First one, the Harabayas, then the Cheal, the third cut stayed in the Azorah, and then they went home to do the roasting. Tana, says the Brisa, so when they went home, Kol echad v'achad noten pischo be'oro u'mafshil la'achorav. Everybody would put his Korban Pesach in its skin, which had been removed as part of the Havshata, would wrap it up and would put it on like a as if he were walking with a sack on his back, like he's going on a tiyul, which, by the way, became a minhag in many areas that we do this with matzah on the Seder night. So we put the matzah inside of a sack and carry the sack around the table, because that's nogea misharotehem at shechmam, that they were carrying things on their shoulders. So maybe this is another remez for that. So they would wrap it in the skin, put it behind them, Omer of Elish, like tie-out, as if they were these Arabs that were running around selling things, where these like gypsies would come and open up things and sell it. So it doesn't matter who you are, it would be part of the sense of the Yetzias Mitzrayim to put this behind you. So why did it have to be wrapped in the skin? It's like an amazing Or Sameach on this. Or Sameach says, look, since the halacha is that Hesach Hadas is pasul for kachim, and the din is that if you take the mechatas and you carry it behind you when the better shmira is in front of you, so then it would pasul the mechatas. So over here would pasul the carbon Pesach because of the fact that you're not watching it properly. So because of that, you have to put it in the skin. Because if you learn that the psul of Hesach Hadas, remember we had before, it's a question, is it a psul tuma, or is there another psul that's associated with it? If you learn it's a psul tuma, so then by putting it inside of the skin, you're protecting the Korban Pesach, because it would never be able to be, no, the skin itself is not makabel tuma, this is not a kli. And then there would be no way to be metame the Korban Pesach. So because of that, you can get away with doing the little act of carrying it behind you, which is very sweet.